Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, January 14th, 2026.
Your attention, please. This meeting is now in session. This is the first meeting of the year 2026. Welcome, everyone. Hi. Okay. The Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting of January 14th is now in session. At this time, I will read perhaps the statement of always the sunshine law. So all of you can smile as I read it. The public meeting announcement. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Board Administrator please call?
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Commissioner Langgraf.
Here.
Joy Nazzelli.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tocco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
John Van Dyne.
Here.
Absent are Lorraine Salata, Greer Gaskell, Wendy Bartlett, Jessica Spilly.
This evening, before we begin the organized meeting itself, I'd like to welcome a new member of the board who is, well, not so new. John Van Dyne. John is joining us. John has served on the board before. He's well known. And we're happy to have you, John.
Thanks, Jay.
And now, could you please come forward to the solicitor and be sworn, please?
Where you want.
Right here.
There's several board members who have to be sworn. Might as well get them all at once. So John Van Dyne's obviously our new board member. And just for the list, the mayor, his term runs with his term in office. So, and Lance, we typically don't do you. But the other appointments, Joe is the Class II member. You're a one-year appointment. So I'm going to swear you in. Mike Wiesen is up for another 4 years. Dan Smith is up for another 4 years. So if I say your name, just stand up and we'll get you all together. Tim Coop is going to be now a full-time member because Roman has resigned. And then we're moving Greer and Wendy and Jessica are all jumping up a spot. So is Greer and Wendy or
No.
Three of them. All right, we can get them next time.
Wendy and Jessica are not here.
And Greer's not on it, right? All right, so we'll just take note of that and we'll get them next time. I can even get them right before the meeting or something. So what I'm going to do, and we'll do it all at once, I'm going to read this and you have to repeat after me. But it's going to start with I, and then you're each going to say your name and just repeat after me. So can you raise your right hand? I do solemnly swear or affirm that I'll support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and in this state under the authority of the people. So help me God. I do further solemnly swear or affirm that I will impartially and justly perform all the duties of the office of planning board member according to the best of my ability. So help me God. All right, welcome.
Gentlemen.
Shake your hand.
On behalf of the city board.
Thank you.
And the citizens.
Thank you very much.
I congratulate you all.
Yes.
and it's a pleasure to serve.
Yeah, if I could just say, I want to thank you all. It's something that's a, it's a, as a volunteers on behalf of this, the administration, I'm sure Lance agrees and Mary Mento, that it's, you put yourselves in sometimes in harm's way. And, you know, when you have to come down on something that you know is the right thing to do. And I just want you to know that I appreciate all the time that you go in, that everybody goes through to analyze and bring your experience to bear to help the city move forward. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Agreed.
At this time, we're going to move to the election of the chairperson, vice chairperson, and the appointments of solicitor, planner, engineer, and administrator. At this time, motions are, or nominations are open for the board chairman.
I nominate you. I second it.
Nominations, other nominations? None. Nominations are hereby closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes carried. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, members of the board.
Thank you.
I know we appreciate it. The next is for the nomination for the vice chairman. Roman had served a great term in there, and we thank him for everything. Now it's time for a new person. So at this time, may I have nominations, please?
Mike Weasley.
Second. Any other nominations? Nominations are now closed, since none remain set. May I have a motion? No, we don't need a motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Mike, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Mark. What a surprise.
Well,
I want to thank the academy.
At this time. Now, the next is the board solicitor. He's a solicitous person. What can I tell you? Now, nominations, please, for the board solicitor.
Move Leo
Manos.
You said Mason.
That's all right. He's a me.
A second.
The nominations? Nominations are hereby closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Leo?
Thank you.
And your contract has been approved, and so it'll be in accordance with the city approval.
Okay. Thank you.
At that point. Next up is this is a good one here. The next is the planner and engineer. And currently it's our illustrious Roger. Other nominations, please.
I nominate Roger McLaren. Second.
No, it's the second already. I guess we have a second. Oh, well, we'll open it up still. Any other nominations, please? Hearing none, nominations are closed. All those in favor of Roger?
Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes carried. Roger?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Congratulations. And your contract is per what you agreement with the city. Thank you. Now, we have one other special person here. Board administrator. Maybe have a nomination. Carmella is, of course, in serving. May I have a nomination, please?
Carmella, the middle one.
Second.
Are there any other nominations?
I want to also second it.
Okay. Oh, second. So he wants to close it right
now. Thank you.
At this point, nominations are closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Ooh, okay. With no be boos. So, Carmella?
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you.
And that's as per agreement with the city as well. So, at this time, our seats have been filled. We have a great board. We have got a better board. We are constantly advancing. And this board, I am so proud to be part of, because it demonstrates just the ability and the agility to react to the situations and grow with our city. So I thank you all for serving, and I thank the commissioners for the job that they do. They're fantastic. And our professionals, we couldn't do it without you. So with that, I I just have it all, and I have the pleasure of serving with everyone. At this time, we will move into the dates of the meeting. We have published them before you. Now, I'll like everybody to peruse the dates, and there's discussion, making sure we have no conflicts with holidays. And that's always a problem. And if we need to add, if we feel we need to add any special meeting dates, we can add them now or later, but let's, if we need them, let's put them in now.
You always run into trouble with the Jewish holidays.
Jewish holidays.
Any of those?
I didn't think any fell in there, but.
I don't have the dates.
Why don't we look them up on the, somebody look them up on the calendar, and we'll check for that. And also, we want to check on the days when, we know when Thanksgiving falls, but Christmas and so on in that area, when that falls. And sometimes you even have to look at Halloween anymore.
As needed.
So.
So Hanukkah does run from December 4th to the 12th.
What?
The 12th.
I mean,
when is Hanukkah?
December 4th to the 12th.
So the 12th.
Well, we got a meeting on the 9th.
On the 9th.
So the 12th.
I don't know if that's a concept.
Two meetings a month.
Yeah.
I think last year, we, the second meeting of every month, we put as needed.
Yeah.
Include that.
Now, this would be the first meeting in December. December 9th would be the first.
First meeting. Okay. All right, let's go to the month of January. Are there any conflicts of any meetings in January?
No.
We'll move to February, no conflicts. February, we have the 11th and the 23rd. No holiday conflicts there?
No.
March, the 22nd. As I'm doing this, this is being read into the record, so I don't have to read it twice. So March is the 23rd. We have it as the Wednesday the 13th and Monday the 23rd.
The 11th.
I'm sorry. The glass. Okay. Gee, hi, Lance.
There you go. I can see.
Okay. And no conflicts in March, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, April, Wednesday the 8th and Monday the 27th. Now, with Monday falling so late, is that a possible a special meeting or we can always adjourn a meeting if we don't need it.
So yeah, it's easier to cancel a meeting.
Yeah, we can cancel a meeting if we don't need it, because that's near the end of the month and we have the 13th coming in. So we should keep it on the schedule. Now, May, the 13th and the 25th. The 25th is obviously getting close to Memorial Day, or is Memorial Day. So that is a holiday, no meeting. In June, Wednesday the 12th and Monday the 22nd.
June the 10th.
There should be no conflict there.
No. It's June 10th.
June 10th. 10th and 22nd.
The 10th and 10th and 22nd. Now, July 4th falls on what day?
Friday.
Friday. So this is in the middle of the following week. So that shouldn't be a conflict. And the 27th, there's nothing special that I know of on the month of July. So July is the 8th and the 27th. August, I know of no holidays to speak of. And that would be the 12th and the 24th. Now, here we get into September. So the 9th through the 12th. Now, the 12th runs into Hanukkah, but
Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, Rosh Hashanah, pardon me.
Rosh Hashanah.
So it's Rosh, the ending of the day would be the 12th, which is the sundown of that. And is there a preference on having that meeting or not having that meeting?
Which one?
Wednesday, September 9th.
When's it start?
That's fine.
We're fine.
We're fine.
So we continue as before.
Okay. I thought it would start September 4th.
No, Rosh Hashanah is the 11th to the 13th.
Okay. And then Monday, the 28th is fine.
Yep.
We move into October. Wednesday, the 14th, and Monday, the 26th, are the dates. When is Halloween?
31st.
Okay, so we're good. Now, Wednesday, of course, in November is Veterans Day, which we will not have a meeting on. And how tight is Monday to Thanksgiving? Oh, wait, that's a rhetorical question. So Monday is good, too.
It's the week of.
It's the week of.
Yeah. In there. Now, December, is there a problem with Wednesday, the 9th?
I don't know if it's a problem, it's just in the middle of Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Which runs from the 4th to the 12th.
12th.
I don't know if that's a problem or not.
It's 4th to the 12th, okay, that is where the 4th to the 12th is. Now, Monday is the 28th, which falls between Christmas and New Year's, which is going to be probably a very doubtful meeting, that people will show up, unless they're really, really in dire need. So the problem we may have is that Wednesday may be, for many people, a necessary meeting.
Cancel.
Let's keep the meeting, and we want to keep the Monday meeting in there, too?
Yes.
Okay, so that's kept as well. Now, we always, in our schedule, we continue to the next year, and we put, so we're actually sketching the day of reorganization at this point. So Wednesday, the 13th. And there we have our schedule.
Motion to approve the dates.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. It's read into the record, and it is now part of the fabric of the board. Thank you.
From what I understand, for the January 26th, we don't have any new applications coming in, so stay tuned on that, we might not have to meet, but it's good to schedule in case we need it.
Yeah. Now, we have one other item in here, and that is the appointment of the By Rights Subdivision Committee. Currently, Peter Tucker, Tim Koo, and Wendy Bartlett serve on that committee.
That's February.
Does anyone else wish to, does any of those wish to get off the committee? Or do we wish to appoint a current committee? I'd like to hear from members of the board.
In January?
Bob's fine, he's staying on the committee.
Peter's fine. Tim's fine. So.
Wendy stays on because she's not here.
Wendy's fine, too.
It's hard to get off, we're getting off.
May I have a motion and a second to reappoint the committee of subdivision, By Rights Subdivision Review of Peter Tucker, Tim Koo, and Wendy Bartlett?
Make a motion.
Make a motion, please?
Second.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? None? The motion carries. That is our subdivision committee, the By Rights Subdivision Committee. Yeah. Another item here is the adoption of the December 10th meeting minutes of 2025. Are there any amendments or corrections to said minutes? Hearing none? May I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes carry. The minutes are hereby adopted. Now, we have two resolutions this evening to be adopted. They are P1, or 01, I should say, of 2026, of Rita Kaplan, 3 North Rossboro Avenue, and P02 of 2026, Lighthouse Properties, 6 South Baton Rouge Avenue. Are there any amendments or corrections to those resolutions? May I have a motion and adoption, please, and a second for adoption?
I make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
And one abstention for Commissioner Landgraf. The motion carries. These resolutions are hereby adopted. Gentlemen, we have completed reorganization and the administrative duties of the board this evening. To the applicant, next applicant, the application we're hearing this evening is N.A. Russo Corporation, 130 North New Haven Avenue. Mr. Callahan, are you representing?
I am. Good evening to everyone. Happy New Year to everyone. Welcome back, Mr. Van Dyne.
Thanks, buddy.
Brian, no preamble, go right on through. Swear your people in, please.
I have John Barnhart, Pete Weiss, and Mr. Russo here in case they have questions. Is everybody sworn in?
Why don't you three just go down the line, give us your name and address or business address, and I'll swear all three of you together.
Natalia Russo, 403 Holmes Avenue, Streetsboro, New Jersey.
Okay.
Peter Weiss, 38 East Oak Crest Avenue, Northfield.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
If you each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
And I'll just get Mr. McLaren sworn in, so he's... Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand, you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
Okay, thanks.
Now, for the record, Mr. Barnhart is an engineer and planner.
That's correct.
And his credentials are accepted with his committee before the board many times. Mr. Weiss, you're an architect, correct?
Yes.
And you're licensed, and you appear before this board many times, and your credentials are accepted. Please continue, Brian.
Just for the record, all jurisdictional requirements have been met. This is an application at the 130 North New Haven, Block 174, Lot 14. Technically, we want to demolish the existing single-family home and construct a new single-family home. You've been past the site. It's an undersized lot. It has many existing non-conformities already. It's overlapping on Monmouth Avenue, short on New Haven Avenue. Side yard setback on the opposite side, not really compliant. So, but I'll have Mr. Barnhart walk you through our existing property and what we're proposing new. Then I'll have Mr. Weiss come up and give you a little idea of what we're going to do from an architectural point of view. John? Well, this is technically A1, which is the variance plan that Mr. Barnhart had submitted as part of the application.
Okay, great.
Want to walk him through what's existing on the property, John, and what we're proposing to do?
Sure. As Brian just said, the plan that I have now here is the application plan that we have on your desk in front of you. And if you look at the plan, there's an inset survey of the existing conditions of the property. The site has a frontage of 27 feet along New Haven Avenue and a frontage of 62 and a half feet along Monmouth Avenue. It sits in the large 7 zoning district, and it is an existing undersized lot of record. And it does have an existing single family, 1.5-story home on it. The existing home is largely non-conforming almost in all aspects with regard to wall standards and coverage standards. The building's finished floor is actually under elevation 8. The building is only a couple steps up off of grade to actually enter the property. So it's obviously not compliant with regard to the flood standards. You can see from the survey that the building is online on Monmouth Avenue for almost its entire frontage. It is only 5.5 feet off of New Haven Avenue. It is only just under 2 feet off the side yard to our neighboring property to our south along New Haven. And then the only setback that comes close to compliance is what I call the rear yard setback, which is 11 feet. The site has very little to no landscaping, and it is a property that needs to be redeveloped. It does not comply with any of your standards, nor does it need any flood or building code standards.
Let's talk about what we're proposing and how we're improving the site, in our opinion.
Sure. So when Mr. Russo looked at this property, he wanted to try to create, obviously, to maximize the square footage of the home, but to the most extent practical for the size of the property. And so what we did is we looked at what's appropriate as compared to a lot of this size, and what works with the neighborhood. And we believe that what Mr. Weiss, working with our client, has achieved from a home perspective, does work very, very well. Obviously, the new construction will meet all the current flood standards. The ground floor will be a garage area for parking and storage, and then the access up into the unit. So the building will meet flood standards. In order to gain a meaningful width of the home, we are still asking for setback variances both in front of Monmouth Avenue and on the side opposite Monmouth Avenue. We are proposing to pull the building back, which is now 0 feet to 3 feet from Monmouth Avenue, and then 3.5 feet from our side, from our other side property line. The reason for that being we have a 27-foot wide lot. So if you were to apply the setback condition of the R7 zoning district, which would require a 12-foot front yard and a 4-foot side yard, your house footprint would actually only be 11 feet total, which is obviously unreasonable, and creates a classic version of a C1 or hardship variance, in that applying the zone creates a practical difficulty or hardship to property owners. So we have proposed setbacks that we think work within the community. Are similar setbacks to other neighboring homes, but improve upon the setback from the existing condition. With regard to the New Haven Avenue front, we are proposing to comply with the required 12-foot front yard, and also to comply with regard to the next setbacks on New Haven Avenue, where we're permitted to be 7 feet from New Haven Avenue, if it's even close. We are requesting a slight variance of 2 feet along your rear yard, where 10 feet is the code for 10.1, and 12 feet would otherwise would be required at that location. But I think the telltale here is, if you look at our zoning schedule and you look at Mr. McIver's report as to why this is an appropriate request for this site, we're not asking for a building coverage variance, we're not asking for a site coverage variance, and we're proposing to meet the landscape requirements. So what that tells you is that the site is not being overdeveloped. Yes, it needs variances because it's only a 27-foot wide lot, but we are not proposing a building that is inappropriate for the lot, because although we need all the variances that are in the report and in our zoning schedule, our building coverage still matches what is intended for the R7. So we believe that all these variances can be granted really on both the C1 and the C2 criteria. The C1 that I've already briefly discussed, in that we believe this is a hardship scenario where we have an exceptionally narrow lot. It's also slightly oversized in regard to its area for the district. But the narrowness of the lot is really what is triggering the variance requested this evening. And the application of the strict standards of the zoning ordinance to this lot creates the hardship upon the applicant because the rent of the property is infeasible to be developed, and as we know, it's a property that is actually currently developed. But I think then we can also discuss the application of the C2 criteria for the benefits of the deviation outweighing any of the objections. The benefits in this case are removal of a non-compliant building with regard to flood and setback, bringing the building further into compliance with regard to setback, and 100% into compliance with regard to current FEMA flood standards. With regard to the second prong of the test, which is the negative criteria, as we know, there are two aspects. Is there a substantial detriment to the zoning plan or zoning ordinance? For all the testimony we already provided, I believe there is no substantial detriment to the zoning plan or zoning ordinance. This is a single family home proposed in a single family zone, being the R7 zone. And this is a home that is more compliant than the existing condition, given the constraints of the site. Second problem with that is there are substantial detriment to the public good. My opinion that this project is a benefit to the public by redeveloping the site that is in the redevelopment, and another new home on this block would be a benefit to this neighborhood and the community. And I do also want to point out, this is a site that has struggled with our parking in its existing condition, and this project does propose two off-street parking spaces, so parking does comply with the new restructure.
I'm sorry, Lorraine's not here to hear us, but we're putting two street trees on Monmouth, one street tree on New Haven, grass strips, governor strips around, and we're now adding grass, and grass and shrubs to the actual property itself, where really none exist.
That's correct.
Brian, is that a landscape plan? On the plan, you have to generate that.
Mr. Weiss, I believe, has the landscape plan on. We'll show the trees on the revised landscape coming in to comply with Roger's report. Two on Monmouth, one on New Haven. But yeah, the shrubs are on Mr. Weiss's plan.
Could the applicant just go over that with Roger before they do the work?
Yes.
And that, so we know it's all copacetic.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Barnhart, before I call Mr. Weiss just to walk you through his architectural?
John, I have a question.
Sure.
How many parking places are exist on the site at present time before the house is on the existing house?
I don't know if anybody's ever parked behind the house or not.
Well, let's find out.
No, so the answer would be zero spaces.
So there's zero parking places on the site?
We're proposing two.
Now, how far is this house from the firehouse?
Right down a block.
Yeah.
What?
Right down a block.
I know, by how far? 500 feet, 400 feet, 200 feet? Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. Now, in your opinion, will this help the parking situation in that area? Ventnor always in the center, Ventnor's always crowded, no matter where you go. You can't avoid it.
Well, when you take a project that, or when you take a site that does not currently have on-site parking and you demolish that and provide on-site parking, of course, that's obviously going to be better.
So you would call this positive criteria?
Yes.
Plus, you're moving the curb cut from Monmouth Avenue to New Haven Avenue, which is safer ingress and egress.
That's correct.
And adding a parking space on Monmouth.
You gain that spot back on Monmouth.
Correct.
And do you know roughly how many 27-foot lots are on in that area?
Honestly, I do not know.
I would, Jay, just since we did Buffalo Avenue a couple months ago, that whole strip coming down both sides was mostly 30-footers going up and down that, right, that thing. Because that was one of the arguments when we did it to Buffalo Avenue, because we said a lot of it was R4 zones and R7 zones, which were like 32, so a lot of the properties up and down those streets did not comply with the current zoning because they were all undersized.
The other tough part about this lot is not only is it an narrow lot, it's also a corner lot. So if you get this 27-foot lot and move it in one, and I can have 2 4-foot side yards, you know, it still gives me a 21-foot wide house. In this case, I have another front yard, so that's what really hinders the property.
But it's only a 62.5-foot lot, too.
Correct.
And you worked out a pretty good plan with it, so, in there. So, but I didn't think there were many 27s over there.
Yeah.
Thank God.
It's a 23 up on Bryant.
Okay.
2 blocks up. 1 block.
Mr. Weiss? Leo, A, this would be A2. This is Mr. Weiss's architectural plan. Once again, this is what's been submitted to the board as part of the application package.
Got you. Thanks.
Pete, you want to just walk them through ground level, first floor, second floor, and the story on the half? And once again, Lorraine's not here, but please keep your voice up.
Peter, could you pick the mic up and hold it in your hand, please, and put it up close. Thank you.
It's a pretty straightforward plan. The ground floor is the storage.
It ain't working, Peter.
Garage.
That's better.
That's better. The first floor is a small living space with a deck in the front, second floor has two bedrooms, two bedrooms with a deck in the front, third floor is a massive suite. So, the end of the bed door, pretty mild south, it's only 2,400 square feet, but it's only presented. Exterior is going to be finished at the ground level, stucco, cold stone, and then the siding above will be privacy mat. And presumably the final rails are going to be desk.
Ground level, we have the parking and we have storage for bicycles and beach chairs, et cetera. Shrubbery, we're dealing with, you'll coordinate with Roger to go over the shrubbery on site, different shrubs, grass areas.
Yeah, right now, basically the whole site is covered, we're building. So, as you can see, there's a lot of greenery.
I don't have any other questions. Mr. Weiss, once again, I would open up to the board.
Board members, any questions? Peter, in the foyer, it's a flood compliant foyer, I presume.
Flood compliant foyer.
Flood compliant foyer. In there, so, and you have a storage area, which is great. How wide is the garages? I don't see a dimension, a total dimension in here. The inside dimension.
It's wider than 9 and longer than 19.
11 feet.
It's very good. So, and could you explain to the board the difference between a 20-foot house, a livability, and a 17 or 16-foot house?
It's not there.
But as far as livability goes.
One that goes here, one that kicks.
The front one has to be in the upper floor, so you have less circulation here, less stair, and a hall. So you basically lose 7 feet or more just to get around the building. So the narrow building was, I mean, that's kind of a constant. So if you're going to make the building smaller, it all comes out of the bedrooms for the most part. So, yeah, with 90 bedrooms is the bottom one.
You're living in jail cells then?
Yeah. But it's, I'm amazed you worked out a 20-foot building there, so. And I think your client's happy.
Once again, I have Mr. Russo here if you have any questions of him as the builder.
I have a question of Mr. Russo.
I figured you would.
Mr. Russo.
Yes.
What motivated you to, build this house and raise it up and be flood compliant?
Yes.
What motivated you to do that?
What motivates me to?
To do this project.
To do this project?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, across the street is my house on the bay. And they got rid of one eyesore right across my house. And now this is for the next one.
Okay. Well, look, I love honesty.
Yeah, Mr. Russo's been in that. So we've done the Austin Avenue project. We're in the process of doing the 108 South Victoria project. So not only does he live here, but he's putting his money where his mouth is in doing things in Ventnor as a follow-up as a builder.
Yeah. But pardon me for asking, are you a full-time resident?
What's that?
Are you a full-time resident here in the city?
No.
Okay.
No.
We'd love to have you full-time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here quite a bit, but okay. Now we go back and forth.
I got your way, Jim. We've got just enough names what we need.
All right.
I still work in the offices in Squeezeburg.
Right.
My two sons are getting ready to throw me out, but until that happens, I go to work every day.
When you become a bum, you can come down here, right?
It's quiet down here, especially in the wintertime.
How have you found the parking in the neighborhood?
The parking in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
I mean, when it's peak in the summertime,
yeah,
it's tough. It's tough.
Now, will this alleviate some of that?
Yeah, because that house there used to park right on the corner and right on this side. That's what they take. So now that gives me another parking spot for one of my
family.
You solving a problem.
I'm trying, yeah. And actually, they crossed the street from us now where they redid that house.
Right.
He put two parking spots in there.
Oh, he did, so there's been four pots.
So now we got, yeah, so that's.
Four pots created, and that rolls up.
That helps us out.
That's pretty ingenious.
What's that?
That's pretty ingenious and it's good for the city.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for your thought.
Yep.
Any other questions? We've had an opportunity to review Roger's report, which thought we would apply with all conditions that support the area.
Okay.
I don't want to hear if Roger has anything else to add.
One question I did have, I forgot, so. You're putting in a governor strip. Will you irrigate that governor strip?
Will we irrigate the governor strip?
Sprinklers.
Sprinklers, the governor strip.
Lawn sprinklers.
The governor strip.
Yeah.
Football grass areas.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a lot easier on you, and the trees survive.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Do you have anything further to add?
Nothing else.
Pardon?
Nothing.
So, we'll open up to the public at this time. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? They're stampeding up front. No, there's no comments or signal of any comment requesting. So the public portion is now closed. Do you have anything further to comment?
Nothing else. We just think it's a good application, tearing down a non-compliant house and building something that's much better for the community.
Okay. Are you congruent with Roger's review?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Are you complete?
Yes, we are.
Okay. At this time, board members, do you have anything further? Any further questions to ask of the applicant or his professionals? Speak now, forever hold your peace. At this time, we'll go to preparation of a vote. Will our solicitor please frame a motion in the affirmative? That's all we're done.
All right, it's a C variance application. I'll summarize the variances that are being sought, then we'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call those. The lot area is 1,688 square feet, where 2,000 is the requirement. The lot width is 27 feet, where 32 feet is the requirement. And then for the new home, it's a front yard setback to the house along Monmouth Avenue. 3 feet proposed, where 12 feet is the requirement. Front yard setbacks to the porches and the decks along Monmouth Avenue. Also 3 feet, where the requirement 7 feet. And the side yard setback on facing New Haven Avenue, 3.5 feet proposed, where 4 feet is the requirement, and then the rear yard setback is 10.1 feet, where 12 feet is required. In terms of the conditions, I'll note that they'll show on the compliance plans the two street trees along Monmouth and one on along New Haven. To the extent two is required along New Haven, we'll waive that one street tree. Anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed, and then just the standard conditions, any representations made by the applicant subject to any outside approvals that might be required.
Okay. Board members, they have a motion and a second, please, for this said resolution.
I make a motion.
Second.
Okay, have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Mayor Kriebel?
I support this application. It is an undersized lot. There are any of the variances that are being asked for here are within, I think, reason, considering that the use of a 20-foot wide building is contingent upon them. It is a difficult street. It is a street that is has been organically taken parking away from the buildings that are on that street. And this, in my mind, is the solution to the development in that block, that houses are built flood compliant with their own parking. At least the individuals in the homes have parking, and it does ameliorate some of the street parking. So not only do we get an attractive new building, but we get, I think, a blueprint for what I think, I counted about 14 lots within 25 lots on that block that are this same kind of small depth or width, that this could be an improvement on. So stay tuned for your next projects, right? So I vote yes.
Commissioner Langraff?
To me, this is classic infill development on the island. You've got an old home that's not compliant with flood, it's probably inundated with water from Sandy. It meets the hardship criteria in my mind, the negative criteria. Really don't see it. We're actually gaining an on-street parking space back with the removal of that driveway on Monmouth. So it's a better parking situation. I support the application. I agree with the mayor that this is what a lot of that area needs to have happen to ameliorate some of the parking issues that we have in the city by providing on-site parking that a lot of these homes don't have. I vote yes.
Joe Ryanizelli?
I also approve of the application. I think it's a good application. Echoing what the mayor said, this project could be a template for future projects in the city. I think it's a great project. The pros far outweigh, I really don't fear any cons. I think it's a great project.
Jay Cook?
This is an application that has the most desirable optics for an application in that zone. It first deals with the situation in and around the site. It provides parking where there is none. It's a major complaint within the city, but people don't act upon it. This gentleman acted upon it. He put the money where his mouth is. I commend you, sir. The second thing is, these lots are small. Your professionals worked out a dwelling that is a bit wider than normal. You didn't ask for an insurmountable amount, and you had fine use of the lot with light and air. You made a dwelling that works. Again, good to the professionals and good for the community. The lot itself, first of all, it's a 27-foot lot. Where are you going to go? Basically, in hardship, you can't zone a piece of land out of existence. It's doctrine in the zoning law. That's the first thing. The second thing is, it's a hardship. The narrowness and shallowness on both ways are an architectural problem. Professionals got together and solved the problem. There are no problems, there's only solutions, gentlemen. And you demonstrated you got solutions. Congratulations. You proved it's doable. And I respect you. With that, you move on. The minimal impact on a corner lot, what they did was, had a good design, kept light in there, and kept it going. But they also considered the aesthetics for the community. All the garden strip, the trees, the strip between the street, the governor strip, and trees, and then storage areas within the lot. So the stuff isn't all cluttered all over the place. It has all the makings of a good dwelling and a good being a good neighbor. These are the things that the city, and this project demonstrates that. You go up into the building itself, and it's livable, it's enjoyable. So I say to you, a fine job. You help the city, we are a resort community. You make it livable, you make it better. It's not the Taj Mahal, but it's a suitable dwelling that people can respect themselves and live in and enjoy their life. So with that, I approve it. And it's congruent with our master plan and is best possible with our zoning.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to vote in favor of this project. It's got a lot of challenges. It's a corner lot. You've got 27-foot lot. I think the Pete's design is really nice. You've taken advantage of you got two decks and a front porch. You've got two off-street parking spaces where you had none. It's a win-win for the city. You've got compliant structure going up. Like the mayor said, that there's a lot of lots on this block which this could be a model for, you know, those to be constructed in line with what you have here. And it's not something that is five bedrooms and trying to jam it all in. It's, you got three bedrooms, you got plenty of baths. It's a nice design. I think it fits in well with that neighborhood and why it's something that we're looking forward to. So I'm in favor.
Mike Leeson.
After Jay and Dan, I'm just going to say I'm voting in favor of it because Mr. Russo agreed to put a sprinkler system in the grass.
Great.
Peter Taco.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I believe that the lot has its challenges and the design team has met a lot of the challenges. It's a vast improvement over what is existing. It increases the parking, increases the light and air, pulls it back off of Monmouth Avenue. I think it's a good design and a good project. I vote in favor.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. I think the constraints of the lot make any development a challenge, but to be able to do this and still be able to meet building and lot coverages as well as landscaping and parking is beneficial to the city. That was a nice project. Thank you.
John Van Dyne.
I think it's a good project. I'm building the house right now, a 25-foot lot, so I'm aware of the challenges that are, you know, you guys are faced with. It's such an improvement over what's there. It's, you know, at every step of the way, I don't think you can lose on it. I think everybody's already alluded to all the benefits of, you know, you got coming forward. So good job with the project, Pete. Nice job with the design and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Russo, Mr. Callahan, I think you're a player.
Thank you, board.
And to the professionals who worked on this project, very well done. Thank you for your work. The city, thanks.
I have one thing to say, if I could, Mr. Chair. Just, John, being done, John, I just want to welcome you back to this board. I started consulting for this board here when your father was here. So it's very nice to have a Van Dyne back in the room.
Here.
Welcome back.
Lance? His father mentored me.
I know.
And John, he's the first alderman to ever go ever put his first trip on the board and voted. So congratulations.
I'm on a roll.
We have some other business, gentlemen. Gentlemen, could you take your conversation outside, please?
Yes.
Okay, I've been going over certain things, and I have a question for the board and something I've talked to the mayor about and that I think would be beneficial to know and cases and times. We have a board that's experienced, that has put a lot of years in this city, and we don't know the actual vast number of experience this board actually possesses. I say it's vast. So what I'd like to do this evening is start a list of the number of years you have served either on a zoning board and planning board or a combination of both. And we just have it for a record, and we have it in case anybody questions the competence of this board. Because I believe this is one of the most competent boards that have sat in the city with the most experience. And I think it's a shame to waste the talent and not what is needed to be able to show it. If you feel the same way I feel, I think it's a good idea. But I defer to members of the board and have their opinion.
What's the question? Just the number of years?
Just the number of years.
What if you've been on so long you don't remember?
we can
carbonate that.
In which case, I'll use a history book. Okay.
We're going to send Carmel an email.
No, we can do it right here.
No, I would say, have everybody send something to Carmel.
We have Carmel, I have a new email, okay.
We'll still buy a spreadsheet and we'll have.
Yeah, that would be great. And send in just years of service, if it's a couple boards, then it, or Carmel, better yet, send an email to everybody to fill the blanks. And then if they have either planning and zoning or some other factors as commission, whatever. And it's service to the city.
Yeah, I would add to that, just to say, you know, we have such very, we have, you know, fire officials, we have construction. I would put the, years, we have real estate, you know, I would put all the, I would put any pertinent information, any bicycle repair. Any information, business owner in cities, in my city.
What I would do in that case is we define the city boards and then other businesses within the city.
I think it's appropriate, because everybody was, you know, I made a joke, but small, a business owner in town, those kinds of things I think are important, and we can add that to our website.
Social media, people questioning everything on social media.
Yes. Pardon me?
I don't know if you remember, for the project over here by the firehouse.
Right.
Someone actually posted all of our names in the comments.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, they're published on the website.
Right, but to put it on Facebook is a little.
Well.
Social media, publishing our name?
I can't believe it. Geez, I wonder why they did that.
It wasn't through your buddy either.
And pictures.
And pictures with their name across your forehead.
But anyway, but I just thought that that would be a tool for us.
I saw that for Mark.
And it's something the board should be proud of as well, because this is a very experienced board. And with that, I'm out of words. So.
And I just say one thing.
Yes, Mike.
A pet peeve of mine is when people get caught doing projects, they then go in and get permits, and then they come in here asking for forgiveness. I mentioned it to the mayor that I think they're getting away with free permits.
No, they aren't.
They're not.
No.
They have to pay for the permits?
They have to come in before this board as if it was a brand new project, and then they're judged that way.
And they're buying the permits.
And then they're buying the permits. And the last two.
Is that a penalty if you start a job without, do they get penalized?
Yes. They get fined by code.
Right. And the, we had. I remember, sorry to interrupt, Lance.
No, you're good.
But the, I remember three jobs that came in. One job was over in the Heights, and there was a deck, a rear deck and a front deck. And the rear deck was accepted, the front deck was told, remove it. There was another one over here on the beach block with a garage and everything else. Tried three times to try to hustle the city, wherever the case is. They made them come back, and they had to fill out a formal application, the same as every homeowner had to do for a new project. We wouldn't accept it until they did that. The state code requires us to do that.
And, the nuance to it is you can't treat them, you can't be angry at them for not coming in. That's actually the municipal land use law. You have to treat them as if nothing happened, as nothing was built.
Protect.
And I have to say, this board in those cases acted very fair and very impartial and came to the decision that was respectable. And they got a fair shake.
We have one right now. It's not coming in as an application, but they built in on city property. They literally built the patio in a block, brick patio, I'll say, on city property. And we've had to take it to court. Now the guy still, the judge says remove it. That still hasn't done it. And we're in the process now of hiring a demolition company. That sounds like we're going to blow it up.
Yeah.
A company to come in and demolish that portion. That's in our, and then he's got to come in for the other portion of the patio that on his property, because he didn't get permits for that either. That's going to require variance relief. So you're going to see just what you're talking about. We're going to get the stuff removed first, and then tell him he's got to come in and then look at
it. Now, from what I'm told, I don't know for sure, we're a city that actually does it by the book. And we're going to do it that way too. And we don't look back, we don't do anything, but everybody gets a fair shake.
Yeah, that's always my advice. We're not a penal board, but when that happens, you view it as, had this application come in, proposing these things, how we look at it.
All right.
And that's the case.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Sometimes it doesn't work, yeah.
That's how I looked at when they came in a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Percentage of what they asked for, we probably would have granted if they came and if you liked it.
Right. So. But the optics of fairness are very important to a board. And adhering to the, also adhering to the guidelines of the state statutes are important. So we thread a, you kind of thread a kind of a thin line sometime in certain areas. But you've got to make the decision that that is for the city and is defensible with the ordinances. And that's it.
Well, a major point is that when they do that, what's the neighbors?
Pardon me?
Neighbors.
Yeah.
The impact on their neighbors.
Well.
That's kind of a tough situation. And I think we've been very good with people who tried to circumvent the process.
But the neighbor impact of neighbors goes into the special reasons as well. But there are also codes and zoning ordinances on the basic piece itself. If it can't pass those, and it's in violation, it's in gross violation of those, you have to get to the next level. And so you have to look at both. And if they get to the next level, then you can look at that. But some of them are so egregious, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, it comes out. It all comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
So you make your judgments. But we don't prejudge. They tell us and they show us and decisions are made. But just because a neighbor likes it or doesn't like it is not the criteria, not the sole criteria. It also has the ordinances.
You know, this is kind of out of left field, but it's a good project, obviously, you know, and they're doing things that are going to be beneficial to the city, you know, with the parking issues and things like that. But I'm so sick and tired of seeing the same damn house built over and over and over and over again with black windows and black railings and lick them and stick them on the foundation and maximize to improve. I mean, look, the guy crossed his T's and dotted his I's, did a good job and all, but geez.
John, remember the six types of roofs?
What's that?
Remember the six types of roofs that we dealt with?
Yeah.
There are ways to put in our regs, design standards. It becomes cumbersome. We probably have to hire an architect to review these plans, make sure we're discussing that and bring a team right now because they're going to do the same things.
Yeah.
They're not the old cookie cutter.
I think it's worse than bring a team, yeah.
Well, it is. Yeah.
John, by the way, you're right.
He's absolutely right. We're getting all the same.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like he's right.
But the hard part of the design standards is the review of it.
Yeah.
You know, some of you guys, the builders are qualified to review that, but not from a technical standpoint. You have to go through the architectural plans. It's cumbersome.
Right.
And then, and this, you've heard me say this before, you know, I'm like a flat roof on a house.
Right.
But I don't own that house.
Yeah.
If someone wants to build a flat roof house, that's up to them, and our ordinances allow it. They reduce the height. We don't allow them to go to the same height.
And you become the color police, too.
Exactly. I don't have that.
Remember when Margate had the color police?
What's that?
Then Margate had the color police.
Subjective.
Clem?
Yeah.
Clem was the head of the committee.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I'm aware we could get maybe a slight improvement or
yeah.
Something.
I agree, John. I think there's a compromise there that you could have maybe a group, an architect that does a group of homes that is in keeping with sort of the character of Ventnor. I think Ventnor's has always been an eclectic mix. You've had there's Spanish colonials, there's Dutch colonials, there's modern, and what people thought was modern then is now traditional. So maybe it's not like a dogmatic group of people looking down their spectacles at their houses and saying this is not appropriate, but maybe it's a pattern that says, is it within these 10 styles of homes Are you mixing it up? Is it mixing it up?
I don't know where to start with it.
I don't know where to start.
Well, you know, the other problem is, we got so many narrow lots, and how do you build a nice looking house that's 50 feet tall on a 25 foot lot? I'm doing it right now.
The scale is the problem.
Yeah. And honestly, we're going to have to address it. I've got to talk to Leo and Roger. The governor's about to sign his New Jersey PAC rules, hearing on Monday, which will kick up the base flood elevation by 4 feet.
Oh, you're kidding.
By how much? 4 feet. We've been fighting this for 3 years.
He's trying to kill the islands.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to push development away from the island. So this is something the city's fought, all the barrier islands have fought.
Yeah.
Cape May County sued the state. Their county actually filed litigation against the state, but they're not listening. They don't care. They found this study from Rutgers. That Rutgers even came out and said was too much. That said that the sea level rise is going to be 10 feet in the next 100 years.
That reminds me of the 1985 edict of the 75%. Yeah. That demolition on the beach. On the beach.
So we're going to have to change our regs, because right now we say, 35 feet above base flood elevation, right?
Oh.
So that base flood's going to go up 4 feet. And right now, depending on where you're at.
We're going to be cheating. Base flood down 16?
No.
What's
12.
12.
It comes anywhere from 8 to 11.
Yeah, but this house is measured from 16.
Right, because we give them extra height
for the garage.
More freeboard.
Yeah, we allow them to get a car, a parked garage on these.
So is that across the board? We give them
you're going to see every house has parking underneath now. Every house that has parking underneath right now is going to be good with the new regs.
So that's fine for the new regs.
So then you're 35 feet.
Right. We're doing that now.
So our
FEMA maps are staying the same. Base flood for FEMA purposes, insurance, is still here. State's coming in adding 4 feet on top of that.
Yeah.
Our freeboard matches that as it is today. They might add another foot, but if parking's below, we're still above that.
Okay, so that we're base flood plus 4 feet, which is we're going on.
Right, it's base flood plus 3 feet. We'll give you an extra foot, so you don't have to use the water resistant material. So or we'll give you 8 feet above top of curb. And we're actually going to look at changing that based on elevations.
Yeah,
minimum elevation.
So what do you feel the impact will be? It's kind of over the built-in ordinance on.
I think you're going to see more impact in regard to new development, where it's happening versus how it's happening. Minimum elevations for parking lots, minimum elevations for streets, new development. Basically, what you're saying is if there's a vacant area, large area on a barrier island, it's not going to be developed.
Yeah, their goal was to stop the new development on the islands.
Well, that's kind of, they've been saying that for their master.
They found a way to do it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that we're in good shape with our heights, because Brigantine has to change theirs to limit the heights a little bit. They're going to give the builders the same envelope. Building box to build it.
Right.
It's going to move up a little bit, but not as much as that 4 feet would allow.
We have to figure amendments.
Push it, I should say.
We have to figure amendments of special uses to change that.
I don't think we need to do anything for what Roger's doing. We're going to meet. Yeah. I want to go through
it. I hope it's good.
It's an issue in Brigantine.
Can I go back to John's comment quickly?
Sure.
John, I have an idea, for the board, an idea to start out with this whole thing and see about reception. You gave a good narrative of what the problem is perhaps we send a good send it in narrative form for consideration to the designers and say, please comment on this. And what is your feeling? And
I think that's the first step is to make because it relies a lot on the designers. There are some architects that can work within it,
right.
And you've seen it, you've built it, that they put the right kinds of details on it that bring scale and somehow make it work within the same, within the same parameters of another architect. So I think you just need to start with bringing awareness to it, right. And maybe add some of that detail into our master plan that we want to continue to preserve
what kind of eclectic building that we have, and I think it's a lot of people say the same thing. You don't want to be a Seattle City, an Ocean City, where it's just a, it's just a,
it's a sea,
a side catalog more than it is
yeah.
an architectural art, you know, character. And we have to, we struggle. We want people to come to Ventnor and notice that they're in Ventnor, to see that they're in a resort shore community. You know, we have all these eclectic spaces, the beachfront, the bayfront, and then, you know, these types of homes in between.